the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today, September the 13th, and on the docket for today, well, we'll look at the hash rate of Bitcoin and how it's going, but the main event for today's show is going to be about Sato Technologies, a very small Bitcoin miner, but some really good news came out of their camp, and we'll be diving deep into this one, so stick around because we're going to have some fun with this episode. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsor, which is ShakePay. And I'm even wearing a shirt. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin, but you could if you wanted to. Open up an account with our referral code below, and if you fund your account with $100 and use that $100 to buy Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on our platform, ShakePay is going to give you $30 added to your account, no questions asked. And if you do open up an account with our code, you unlock the ability to shake your phone once a day, and if you do that, with the ShakePay app being open, you're going to get partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do it on consecutive days, you get more and more Satoshis, to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, you run up a streak for that long, the rewards will be 1,000 Satoshis per day per shake. Great way to stack sats. Another good way to stack sats is by using the ShakePay Visa card. Load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars. Go out and use that with the ShakePay Visa card to purchase whatever the heck you want to buy, groceries, gas, whatever. Well, the first 5,000 you purchase, 2% rewarded back to you in Bitcoin, and beyond that 1% going to be given to you in Bitcoin. Also, every time you use your ShakePay Visa card, you're rolling the dice. You could potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin added to your account. And they also have the Shake Squad. So if you team up, you can team up with up to four other ShakePay users. Anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 sats are going to be rewarded to everybody in a Shake Squad. And there's also the Shake Earn that's currently, there's a waiting list to join up. Check it out. It's a good way also to stack sats where you just load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars, and on a monthly basis, you'll be rewarded with Bitcoin for keeping Canadian dollars on their app. So check it out. We use ShakePay. We recommend it. Our code is below. Sign up if you haven't. So with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And I'm going to lead off with the story about the overall Bitcoin hash rate and the global hash rate, the network hash rate, whatever you want to call it. Ultimately, this is what's going to indicate how profitable an individual miner is going to be. And depending on how much they're growing out, their hash rate in conjunction with the overall hash rate is going to be a determining factor if they're going to be mining Bitcoin, more Bitcoin moving forward, less Bitcoin moving forward, or just treading water and mining the same amount of Bitcoin as they progress. So I'm using the hash rate chart here from Mempool. Now, there's talk about that we are nearing or at an all-time high for the hash rate of Bitcoin. And that's really interesting considering the price of Bitcoin stands around $20,000, $21,000, $22,000 as I speak. So it's a definite interesting correlation between the price of Bitcoin, which has been stagnant for 3 months, but the overall hash rate has been continually going up. We reached a low in the past little while, around July, mid-July, and it's been steadily increasing. So you can see the hash rate was around 197, 196 exahash per second, and now we're sitting at around 216 according to this chart. So we went up in the span of 2 months about 7%, so 3.5% per month on average. And that I'm taking out the previous 6-7 months because it was very, very rocky time during that amount of time. But I'm just looking at the last 2-3 months here. So if you are a Bitcoin miner, if you are not throwing on 3.5% more hash rate onto your network, you are not going to be able to mine more Bitcoin moving forward than in the past. And if you are adding more than 3.5%, you are then going to be able to get more Bitcoin, potentially mine Bitcoin, more Bitcoin moving forward. So that is the key. So I recommend anybody who wants to really look in depth into this, check the mempool website. And on there, you could check to see what is the overall hash rate of the network. And with that, you can get an idea how much more ASICs equipment is actually being thrown on a network. And as you can see in the past 3 months, a heck of a lot more. Now, keep in mind, we were also dealing with power curtailment issues in the state of Texas. And this is as a result of the heat wave that they're experiencing over there. And mining equipment had to be turned off so power can be diverted to the grid to help stabilize the power issues they're having. And Texas does have a significant amount of the overall hash rate. Not, 30%, but still enough that it's measurable. So as you can see there, in the summertime is when it's gone down. This is going to steadily go up, especially as we get to the closer to the cooler months, start of fall, middle of fall, and then into winter. That hash rate should really spike up. But then it also comes to the other problem. Those mining farms in Quebec, they're going to be potentially curtailed over there because they might have to divert their energy to heating homes. So there's going to be a sweet spot, I'm predicting here, between the months of October and, say, the end of December. You're going to see a massive spike in terms of the hash rate with Bitcoin. Then you potentially might see a little bit of drawdown, and then it will just go back up. And this is it. Not taking into consideration more ASIC equipment being thrown in the system. For example, Marathon has a heck of a lot of equipment that's going to have to be still plugged in the next little while, that unfortunately they had some issues in their Montana location. So keep a lookout for this hash rate chart. Also, if you're looking at a particular miner, look to see what is their hash rate over the last couple of months, 3, 4, 5 months, and try to put it in conjunction with that hash rate chart. And that is a good indicator to see if they're growing and if they're beating their competitors. And that's a heck of a great way to really look to see what's going on with a particular miner. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. And moving things along is a story about Sato Technologies and smaller Bitcoin mining company traded under the ticker SATO on the TSX Venture Exchange. And when I say smaller, it's in comparison to its publicly traded peers. And this company recently had a name change from Canada Computational Unlimited to Sato Technologies as a way to pay homage to Satoshi Nakamoto. Nonetheless, they just recently announced today that they have reached they've reached full capacity for their Center 1 facility. And this is 20 megawatts worth of renewable energy, and it has mining power near 0.6 exahash per second. Now, keep in mind, before I go any further into this, their hash rate exiting 2021 was around 230, 240 petahash per second. So if they could achieve this 0.6 exahash this year, they're going to more than double their hash rate in this given year, which is fantastic. But got to read between the lines here. Number one, their debt is very manageable. From what I understand, it's around 14% of their equity. So it's a very manageable debt. It's easy to service given that where it stands right now. But if it gets any larger, it can be problematic. Reason being, it's more costly now to carry debt than it was, say, last month or even 6 months ago. So carrying debt becomes more and more burdensome as time goes on, just for the sole fact that they continually raise interest rates. Now, in terms of the Center 1 facility, they say they total around 5,400 Bitcoin miners running. And if you want to compare that, they had announced back in July that they had 1,500 miners that were hashing away at that time. So they have quite a bit more that they've installed in the past few months. This is something that you got to read between the lines. Near 0.6 exahash of mining power. That leads me to believe that they have the power, but they have not installed the equipment in order to take advantage of that power that's available to them. It's all 100% renewable energy. That's good if this is your jam. And I like what the Roman was saying here. He talks about bear markets are made to biddle. I like how he uses the biddle as a way of playing on words with hodl. But nonetheless, I just want to point out, although they did reach full capacity of 20 megawatts, from what I understand, they have not energized all the mining equipment in order to take advantage of that full 20 megawatts. They do have hosting services that they provide, and that's a way for them to generate income without respect to the price of Bitcoin. They are going to be able to generate revenue from that simply by having some other person or company have Sato Technologies have their equipment on their site, plug it into their network, and monitor it and have it do its thing. So that's going to be a great way for them to earn revenue, even if the price of Bitcoin tanks. But that's not going to be their Bitcoin that they mine. They might have an agreement that they get a percentage of the Bitcoin that is mined on that particular machine, but it's not in total going to be theirs. So you got to read between the lines here. I do like Sato Technologies, but I still believe, without getting all the details here, it seems to me that they have not been able to energize everything that they have, or in terms of energize everything that they have available to them in terms of the power capacity. So they're going to have to get more mining equipment installed on their Center 1 location. And Center 2 is also concurrently being built as we speak. So there's going to be more opportunity to install stuff. How are they going to get this extra equipment? Is it going to be primarily through hosting agreements? This remains to be seen. I hope that they don't go further into debt, because right now it's manageable at 14% to their overall equity. So this is actually rather good. But if things get out of hand, it's going to be very challenging for a smaller Bitcoin mining company to get out of debt. Also take note that we just had a company last week, Mawson. They started chopping up some of their existing operation, and CleanSpark took a scoop out of them. And this is going to happen. There's going to be more consolidation happening within this sphere as companies, they have over-leveraged themselves. They just bit off more than they could chew. And with the price of Bitcoin remaining where it is, those companies that are carrying debt, debt that is beyond their means, they're going to have to find ways to make ends meet. And that's when I'm looking at Sato. Will they enter into that space? Right now they haven't, but what are they going to have filling that all that 20 megawatts of power available to them? They need equipment, and equipment is not cheap. It's very capital intensive to purchase this stuff. How are they going to get this money? Remains to be seen. So keep your eyes on this one. This is a company that could go either way, depending on how it is that they go about with their debt situation, because it's going to be very costly to manage that moving forward. And before I sign off, just want to make sure you're aware that I'm not giving out financial advice, and I'm not a financial advisor, and ditto with Joey and any of the guests that's been on our show. So make sure, before you do anything that we're talking about on this show, do your own research. It only makes sense, or else you're going to get wrecked. And with that, take care.